thank you, Chris. We are going to move on to the Q&A session now. I'm going to start off with the questions that are typed in for Chris, just since that presentation is fresh in everybody's mind. So, Chris, looks like the first question we had for you was, did you say new quiet zone whistle bans for rail or no quiet zone whistle bans?
We said no. I was referring to quiet zones or quote unquote no whistle, referring to bans on whistle.
Okay, so I think the clarification was just the wording. If you said, I think it was just unclear if you had said new or no.
Sure. Yeah, okay. No. We're referring to quiet zones or the quote unquote no whistle zone.
Okay. I believe this question was for you, but actually probably any one of the presenters could answer it. Wouldn't we want to focus freight villages in or near industrial preservation areas or brownfield areas for sustainability?
Well, I mean, the answer is, you know, you certainly could. In reality, freight facilities are being developed on greenfields and brownfields all across the country, depending on what the specific characteristics are for that particular area. The NPTIC region is noted for having very high real estate values and high real estate taxes, and so that has accounted to a great degree for the location or the relocation of our freight-serving facilities to other places. But I would say if your goal is to redevelop brownfields, I would say one of the things perhaps that you would want to look at would be the efficacy of locating a freight village on that particular site, absolutely.
Okay. And for Chris, how would pedestrian and bicyclist interactions be looked at within this study? I am aware of a pedestrian fatality due to a freight facility having a poor line of sight, partly due to screening fences.
All right. There is an example in the handbook, especially when we're talking about the separating, you know, establishing buffers around freight facilities for the purpose of reducing, you know, noise and sight impacts, but also to provide a zone of safety. But within that, even there's an example of a pedestrian bridge, I believe, in Washington State that allowed pedestrians to cross over a freight facility, a freight transportation facility, in a safe manner. So we have an example in there that looks at that type of an issue.
Okay. I'm going to go back up to the top and just start with some of the questions at the top. I know that Teresa typed in some responses to the questions, but I'm going to go ahead and ask them again just in case there's anybody who's just on the phone but not logged in. Teresa, where did the funding for the tractor trailer simulation training come from, and who are your partners to bring in the simulator?
We actually didn't have per se any training funding short of my staff time. We have a very, very limited budget for freight. And how that occurred was I was at an Alaska World Trade Center conference, and the president of Carlisle Trucking, whom you're all probably familiar with, Ice Road Truckers, she gave a presentation and mentioned they had a computer simulator to train their truck drivers for a variety of very difficult driving situations, including the ice road. And so I got to thinking, I thought, I'm going to ask them if I can bring down different agencies and if they would share the computer simulator with us and develop some scenarios. And they did. They agreed to it. So they were our partners, the state of Alaska, DOT, the municipality of Anchorage, even the public transit department helped out in moving people around and helping with some scheduling and so forth for us. And we did outreach to our freight advisory committee members, the Port of Anchorage, Alaska Trucking Association. So that's how it came about, was just finding out that there was a computer simulator in town. And we got great feedback. The engineers, the transportation planners were like, I've never driven a huge 53-foot truck before. I had no idea how difficult it was, even though it's a simulator, to downshift, upshift, make corners, stop in time, and all just the safety things that you have to think about in addition just to getting into a parking lot or a loading dock. And so that's how we did that.
Okay, thank you. The next question for you is, are you involved in the climate change discussions looking at sea level rise and how that may affect the freight at harbors and with railroads or highways near inlets or by the ocean?
I'm not personally involved in any of that. I know that Federal Highways comes out with an update on climate change and so forth, so I've read those. We have at the University of Alaska Anchorage, the Institute of Social and Economic Research, and they did a study about 3 or 4 years ago that took a look at the cost of climate change on transportation infrastructure in Alaska and how much it would cost to replace that. I know that there are some outlying Alaskan villages like Shishmaref that are being inundated with rising sea levels, but I don't really know anything about it in the Anchorage area.
Okay. I'm going to skip the next question about the signal timing because I think you directed that person to email you and you'd get them in touch with the right person. The next question for you is Anchorage or Alaska planning any new rail projects for port access or long-haul overland?
I know that the Alaska Railroad has several projects that they're taking a look at. The first one that comes to mind is the Port of Anchorage is expanding their port, and so they're also putting in a spur in order to make freight movement easier to the rail, because the rail yard is located adjacent to the port. And then the railroad is also looking at a spur over at Point McKenzie, which is Port McKenzie, which is owned by the Matsu Borough. And that spur would go from that port out to what's called the Houston Big Lake area, and that would help them get their freight up to the interior of Alaska, such as Fairbanks, and be able to move goods back and forth from that port. And there is discussion of commuter rail between Anchorage and the Matsu Valley. It's about a 50-mile trip, and we have about 32% of the population from the Matsu Valley works in Anchorage, so there's some discussion of that.
Okay, thank you. We'll now have some questions for Howie. Howie, have you tried to estimate truck VMT and or greenhouse gas emissions reduced due to freight villages, or will this be one of your study objectives?
We're going to be doing that in Test 6, which is coming up. And as I indicated in the presentation, we're not going to be looking at we're not going to be looking at impacts of VMT on the local roads surrounding the sites, but we are going to be looking at possible reduction in VMT for larger areas and exactly what benefits freight villages on these sites could have on the larger area around the site itself. So the answer is yes. We're going to be looking at VMT for sure.
Okay. The next question for you is, what would be displaced at the Mount Vernon site, industrial or other, or is it an incorporation of an existing industrial park?
Yeah, it is. It's an integration of existing operations and services at this industrial park. It's kind of a unique area in which the team working on this project actually felt that some kind of unifying theme or management was necessary to kind of bring together these disparate operations who just happened to be located in this same informal industrial park. So there's some work that needs to be done there in terms of integrating the existing tenants and some kind of management that needs to take place in order to kind of bring it all together. So we're not really talking about displacing anybody at this location.
Okay. And what would you ultimately do with the results of the study or as a result of picking a freight village site?
Well, it's really, what we wanted to do is with several fold. One, I mean, we really wanted to do this analysis, but sort of a secondary objective that we had for doing the study is really to continue to inform all kinds of stakeholders in the region that freight is a need, that these needs need to be addressed, and try and focus people on the freight issue. One way to focus them is to bring up something that's innovative, something not yet tried, and something that might actually be able to be have a use here. So I think the next step is for us to complete the project, provide it to our member agencies, share it with the private sector, and hope that industrial development agencies, IDAs, organizations like that will take these results further and take it to the next level, which would be perhaps with the private sector to share these results and have a much more in-depth and detailed analysis for the for each of one of these sites.
Okay. Can you speak more to the operational and technology characteristics of near residence freight villages that make them easier for the community to accept or tolerate, such as gate management, appointment systems, on-site electrified parking or loading dock power, cleaner switcher locomotives and yard horses, etc.?
Well, I mean, certainly all of those features are assuming that you wanted to develop some kind of a freight yard, intermodal facility, freight village, what have you. The extent that you could implement those types of technologies, I think would go a long way to making these kinds of facilities much more palatable. It's true that there's a great deal of concern on the part of communities and surrounding communities around these sites, but I think we certainly do have the technology, genset locomotives, for example, trucks that can be retrofitted. There are truck scrappage programs where you can trade trucks in for much more efficient and environmentally acceptable trucks. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can do. I think it's a package, and I think whoever does the final development of these locations would have to look into that. It certainly would benefit everybody, including the freight operations themselves.
Okay, thank you. Next question for you. What work has been done or will be done to interview private sector business owners to find out what demand from their perspective might exist for such a freight village? What value is added for the private sector investor, such as co-location benefits or tax incentives?
Well, the facilitated freight expert panel that I alluded to in the presentation was such a group in which we did really ask those kinds of questions, which is how we derive the criteria and the sub-criteria along with the weights for each one of those features. And we got really good input from the participants in on this panel, which consisted of integrated carriers. We did actually have one industrial developer on the panel. We had trucking interests. We had railroads. So it was really quite a comprehensive group that we dealt with. So we felt good and confident that talking to these people was going to provide us with the informed conversation that we really needed. So I don't know. I think that should answer the question, I think.
Okay. Who was on your expert review panel, and did it include someone from the commercial real estate industry?
Yeah, as I said, we actually had an industrial developer on the panel and all the others that I just mentioned.
Okay. Do you have an industrial roads program in New York State to provide additional funding to roads that will help support road construction to a potential freight village?
Yeah, indeed. New York State Department of Transportation has an industrial access program, which does exactly that. And that program does provide funding that actually needs to be paid back. I believe they provide loans for just the purpose.
The next question, I'm not sure if Howie would be best to answer it, or Chris, I'll put this out. How different is the concentration of maquiladoras, or industrial manufacturing units, mostly across the U.S.-Mexico border from the freight village concept?
Chris, I don't know. It would seem to me the main differentiating feature is the fact that these kinds of developments in Mexico are more focused solely on the manufacturing rather than on the integrating of I describe them as freight villages. I don't know if, Chris, you have any more information on that? Because I don't think I do.
Yeah, I think that's correct. And also that many of the freight village examples are of either master planned communities. Granted, there are other examples that have kind of grown more organically that the example down the border might resemble more similarly.
Okay. I don't see anything else typed in. Do any of the presenters have any questions that might have been sent to them directly that I might have missed?
Well, actually, I didn't have any sent directly, but I'd like to go back to the question about pedestrian and bicyclists. I went through and read the question in the chat.
Sure.
And I'd say in addition to the pedestrian bridge example that I mentioned, also when we get to talking about doing site plan reviews and listing some of the criteria that should be looked at, you know, safety concerns are certainly up there as well. We mentioned, you know, looking at screening and landscaping on sites that could present blind corners or other hazards to the safety of other vehicles, including pedestrians and cyclists as well. So those types of things to look out for and to take into account are suggested as well.
Okay. I'm going to see if anybody else has any questions, give people a few minutes to type in additional questions. I'm not going to open the phone lines because since we don't have an ordered way to do that right now, I'm just going to ask you if you do have any additional questions to type them in. I want to remind everybody, if you're an AICP member, and actually before I go through that, we do have another question, so I'm going to go back to that. Does Cambridge Systematics provide training for organizations planning to incorporate modal split in their travel demand model and integrate the freight plan in a long-range MPO planning?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that question? I didn't catch all of it.
Well, I guess the question is, does Cambridge Systematics provide training for organizations planning to incorporate modal split into their travel demand model and integrate freight planning in long-range MPO planning?
That is, I believe we can provide a service such as that. If I'd invite anyone who is interested in something like that to send a question, that's specifically what you're looking for.
And I'm going to type in the web address for the Federal Highway Office of Freight Management and Operations Freight Professional Development Program. Through there, you'll see a listing of freight-related courses available through the National Highway Institute, primarily for state DOTs and MPOs, but there's some other educational opportunities listed there, and I think that will help provide some more information. I know there is a course on integrating freight into transportation planning. I think we also have Jocelyn Jones on the phone and a few other people from Federal Highway. If you want to type in any suggestions in response to that question, please go ahead. So I think that seems to be all the questions. You know, feel free to type in more while I'm reading the closeout right now, but I'm just going to go through the end of the seminar. I do want to thank all three of our presenters, and thank you very much for your patience with some of the background noise. I appreciate it. Thank you also to all our attendees for your patience with the teleconference. I do hope you will join us for future Talking Freights. We will have everything resolved by next month. As I mentioned, today's seminar was recorded. The recording and the presentations will all be available online in about 2 to 3 weeks, and I'll send an email out to everybody who registered once they're available. If you're on today and you didn't register in advance, you can either type into the chat box your email address or email it to me. I also encourage everybody to fill out the evaluation form and send that back to me, whether or not you are applying for credits. We do want to get feedback on how we can improve these seminars, in addition to our teleconference issues that we had today. The next seminar will be held on January 19th. We're still working on the topic for this one, and more information about the seminar will be forthcoming, and I'll be sending an email out through the Freight Planning Listserv once registration is available. I encourage you to sign up for the Freight Planning Listserv if you haven't done so already, as this is our primary mechanism for sharing information about Talking Freight as well as other freight topics. So with that, I think we're going to close out for today. Thank you, everybody, and enjoy the rest of your